Brilliant, we'll make a start. Let me pray for us and then we'll back on. Father, thank you for the day so far, for all that we've been taught, all that we've been challenged by. We pray that you would use this afternoon in the workshops and the final session together to really help cement some of those ideas, to give us some ideas about our own ministry and how we can serve the young people that we work with. Amen.
Amen.
Great. So my name's Ben. I do a bit of stuff for the Minister Gospel Partnership, as I said this morning. And really the whole day here has been something I've been trying to do for a long time. So hopefully in these sessions, not just this one, but in the other workshops you go to, the idea is that these are much more practical, slightly less painful on the brain, and give you a bit of an opportunity to do some work yourselves, things like that. So we'll be looking in this 40 minutes or so of movies. Why are we looking at movies? Well, in Acts 17, there isn't a remake for Hollywood in here. There's a bit where the Apostle Paul is on holiday. He's been encouraged to go away and take a rest and have a break. And so he goes to Athens to do a bit of sightseeing, and he discovers, as he walks around, a city full of idols. This is what he says. He stands up in the meeting of the Areopagus and says this: "Men of Athens, I see that in every way you are very religious. For as I walked around and I looked carefully at your objects of worship, I even found an altar with this inscription: to an unknown God. Now, what you worship as something unknown, I am going to proclaim to you." Then he goes on to explain the God who made the world gets to Jesus, and he gets the gospel out. What we have to do when we preach the gospel, if we want to reach the lost, which we do, I'm taking that as given, I'm not going to argue for that. There comes a point where we have to engage with the culture that we're working in. What Paul does in Athens, he's only been there a couple of days wandering around, and he sees the situation. He understands the culture that the Athenians are living in, and so he uses that culture to get the gospel out to some of the Areopagus was a meeting of the greatest minds and thinkers of the current time. So he uses the culture. All we're simply doing with using movies, that's what we're going to be looking at, is just a way that we can use our existing culture to get the gospel out. That's the point of this. Movies are massive, like a huge business. The Oscars was last week. I had an interview on the radio the other day, the director who's just started filming a film with a budget of $250 million. An extraordinary amount of money spent on movies. The kids that we work with, particularly the teenagers, spend an awful lot of time watching DVDs and media and things like that. So, how can we use this to our advantage? So the point of this session is not to sort of talk about what films we should and shouldn't watch, but how can we use what our teenagers and our kids are watching to our advantage? That's the plan. That we will look at some clips and things like that as well. and hopefully there'll be plenty of time for some questions at the end. I say that, we've got 40 minutes, so it will be fairly soon. On your handouts then, I know this seminar was called 5 ways to share movies or something like that. It's not going to be 5 ways. I did try and put something together that made it look like it was 5, but I think we're going to look at 2. That's the way it is. Firstly, very briefly, and secondly, more in depth. So, follow through the handouts. I think there are 2 broad ways in which we can use movies. Firstly, as I said, is to use a whole movie to give a platform to explain a gospel viewpoint on a particular issue. So, if you want a discussion on a particular topic, you want to look at teenage pregnancy or identity or abortion or all those kind of current issues, those things that people will struggle with, sometimes a great way in is to use a whole film, to watch a whole film that's about that issue, and then to lead a discussion afterwards that will get the gospel viewpoint across. So you use what our culture and our society is creating and use that as a way in. Now that sounds quite hard, and sounds like a lot of work, but fortunately, there is a wonderful organisation called Damaris, and the link is on your on your handout, and they produce guides that do that for you. And they're actually at the cutting edge. They produce stuff for films that haven't even been released yet, or only just released. I've got a couple of examples here. So the best exotic marigold hotel, which apparently is very funny. I haven't seen it. It's only been out of cinemas a week. I've got small children. I don't go to cinema anymore. what they produce is a little guide. It gives you a number of little bits of information about the film, ideas about how to host a discussion. It gives you loads of questions. You can also download little clips from the website which have particular points related to them. And the questions start off quite gently about culture and how people feel and all that kind of stuff. And eventually, and after a few, they get into, well, what does the Bible say about this issue? There are literally hundreds of these on their website that they've produced. I have two here that are the recent ones that you're welcome to have a look at afterwards. These ones called Movie Moments are more suitable for ladies and women, a bit more touchy-feely, apparently. The Film and Focus is a bit more studious. Although this even gives you an idea for a dinner party and recipes and things for food, which includes From the Iron Lady, an ice cream survey, an ice cream sundae called The Lady's Not for Churning. But anyway, it's all that kind of stuff. This is not my expertise. The people at Damaris, that website, they do a brilliant job at it. So go away and look at those. It can be quite a long evening, I guess, if you've got a whole film and then a discussion and then food. The advantage of doing ones that are in the cinema, people can go see it at different times and then you get together for a discussion. What we're going to do, the bulk of our time doing, really, is the second part. And using part of a movie clip to help illustrate part of the gospel. I think movie clips, short movie clips within the context of a meeting, can be really useful. I actually, on one hand, particularly working with teenagers, having a movie clip actually just brings the whole group together. If nothing else, it shuts them up for 3 minutes. And then when the video stops, they forget to talk again. It's remarkable. Suddenly, all their attention is in the middle on the screen, and you just sort of seamlessly slip in and start talking. And they forget that you're not the video. So it's simply from a sort of a classroom management almost point of view, sort of a group management point of view, it's helpful in that regard. But they can be really helpful, I think, in illustrating parts of talks. We're going to talk about some of the problems with them and things like that as well. Because it does engage with a level that they're at. It gives you some kind of credibility in it. Well, actually, you seem to have noticed things that I notice. It gives you a common ground. You can share that. Yeah, that good movies are good movies, and you can share the joy of that. When you play a video clip and part of a meeting, and it finishes, everyone goes no, because they want to watch the rest of it. Yeah, you're on that kind of. You've got a shared platform, a shared wavelength with them. But it's very easy then to say, here is a simple point made from a secular world. Well, look at how the gospel just makes that more magnificent. What we're going to do is you're going to work at it. So we're going to watch a couple of video clips. We're going to do the first. So you have a table on your handout. We're going to look at Toy Story 3 and I Am Legend to start with. With a pen, jot down any ideas in your head as you're watching the clips. What points could you make from it? Are there any particular pitfalls in this clip? Are there things that maybe aren't too helpful? What passage in the Bible could you be speaking from if you were using this clip? Or all those sorts of things. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's very simple. So you're going to have to think a bit. We're going to do a couple of clips. Then you're going to speak, have a bit of a chat in groups. And we'll move on. If this works. The technology it is. This should be Toy Story 3. Is that loud enough for everybody? This is another seminar next door.
Yeah.
all that bad stuff I said about Andy's attic? I take it all back.
You darn kid.
You said it.
Oh, darling, you were so great. You saved our lives.
And we are turning. My boys.
Hey, where's that furball Lotso?
Yeah, I must lose him his stick.
Forget it, guys. He's not worth it.
Hey!
What you got?
I had me one of these when I was a kid.
Strawberries.
Hey, buddy. You might want to keep your mouth shut.
Okay, so hold those thoughts. And at the other end of the cinematic spectrum. Seamless. Where's my full screen button? Two threes around. You just have quickly for the Genghis time. We'll rush away. 3 minutes. Have it. Just share some ideas and thoughts, and we'll have some feedback.
Yeah.
Gather a couple of thoughts. I know we are going through very quickly. I appreciate that. Toy Story 3, the third, probably the best trilogy ever put together. I think probably just above The Godfather. Thoughts. So what can we use that clip from Toy Story 3 for in a positive way? What does it illustrate? Or what could it help illustrate? Anybody?
Being saved.
Being saved. Yeah.
Together, even with those that they've fallen out with.
Briefly. Yeah.
Direct quote, you have saved our lives, we're eternally grateful.
Yeah.
To the family.
Yeah. Particularly, what I really like about that clip is the bit right at the beginning, they give up. They give up trying to save themselves. They're in a situation where they are utterly hopeless. There is nothing they can do. It looks like it's the end of the film. They're all going to get turned into plastic mush. And then the claw from nowhere literally reaches in and grabs them and saves them. I quite like that. That sounds like the gospel to me. And yeah, that applies across. Any problems with it? Other than the fact it's about toys?
One of the issues is that they only came together and they only believed when something massive happened. It was complete evidence-based faith.
Yeah.
Whereas that's probably not something that you want to teach children, that actually they should only believe when there's a direct sign.
Yep.
That they should just believe.
Yeah, so you've got to be careful.
It's not working in their favour.
Yeah. No, that's helpful. You've got to be careful of that. Yeah.
And it's kind of a payback, because in the first film, the aliens are saved
by
the toys, and it's like they only did it because. And whereas there's no reason for God to save us just because He loves us.
Yeah.
Concerned about the fire, that they're heading towards the fire, which would represent hell, and that it could open up. You know, you could be prepared for all the other questions that it might ask about.
Yeah.
Why doesn't God save certain people? Does He really send people to hell? Mm-hmm. You could be opening up a whole set of other questions.
Yeah, I think you've got to be aware of the issues that it might break up. Now, depending on your group, you might want to open that can. Yeah, I think you've got to be sensitive to your group, but that's helpful.
So, the situation they're in isn't really their fault. Mm-hmm. It's different for us, we're sinners. There's not some strawberry-smelling bear. There's we're not responsible for being in that situation.
Yeah, exactly. That's really helpful. So, do you see what can start out looking like a really, very close parallel with the gospel? Actually, you start thinking about it. You've got to be careful about the images you've got to portray. Other things, I deliberately left that clip go on longer than I would use personally, because there's the whole bit where they actually are quite glad that Lotso gets it in the neck. Mm-hmm. That's not ideal. That's not a great way to respond to your salvation, is it? You know? And things. So you've got to be aware of what you are portraying. Remember that what is on the video screen is not the gospel. This is an illustration. This is a springboard into something else that's going to, that is much more magnificent than that. I Am Legend, just out of curiosity, how many people have actually seen the whole film, I Am Legend? Less now. So, It's a slightly odd zombie film. It's a slightly odd zombie film, Iron Legend. So if you, don't think that that clip makes it look like quite an exciting thriller. It's kind of slightly strange and weird if you actually watch the whole thing. Points from that clip. What's useful in that clip?
End of the world
stuff.
Authority.
Yeah.
So you've got a guy who just looks like a normal guy, yet suddenly when they know who he is, people with machine guns do what he says.
Yeah. Yeah. That's helpful.
She only got the second chance because he stood up for her.
Yeah, that's true.
Being judged.
I think if you've watched the whole film, this is quite near the beginning of the film. I think one of the problems with this clip perhaps is that you need a bit of context setting. It's a 15, so a lot of the people that we work with shouldn't have seen it. That's another debate for another day. The background to the film is that all these people on Manhattan Island, surprisingly enough because it's Hollywood, have got some contagious disease that they can't cure as a result of some miracle cure earlier on. It's all a bit of a mess. So the situation is, if you've got the disease, you stay on Manhattan Island. If you haven't, you could leave. And that night there that we see, they're about to burn all the bridges and just leave all the people on Manhattan Island to die because they've got this incurable disease. And so the scanning thing is literally saying, you know, life or death. And it's really bleak. If you watch the film, it's properly bleak. And actually, like, Judgment Day is going to be a bit bleak. And so that's possibly a good thing. To try and capture what the anarchy, the bit at the end that you maybe didn't quite see, is a bit where a woman is going, please take my baby, please take my baby. It's hot. It's a horrific scene, actually. In reality, do we get a second chance? When on Judgment Day, when the scan comes up red, you know, maybe we don't want to teach that, got to be aware that on that day that there is no more, that's it now. No one's going to come and say, no, give them another go. So, those sorts of things. Any other pitfalls with that particular...
I thought also as well that looking twice, looking carefully, making sure that you see what's really there.
Yep. No, that could, that could be used, definitely.
I think one of the pitfalls with the scanning was the disease wasn't their fault. Whereas seeing their fault, so that's just the...
No, that's very true. I think I've looked for quite a while to find... Hollywood don't make films where people get what they deserve. I don't know if you've seen... Have you come across that? A film where actually someone just... in quite a way that you can use in and then gets saved. It doesn't really... doesn't make a good story, according to Hollywood. Brilliant. So you're starting to get some ideas, hopefully. You've got those sorts of things. We've probably got time. I know there are two more on the sheet. We'll have a quick vote. We can either watch a clip from Run, Fat Boy, Run, or from The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. If you'd like to see a clip from Run, Fat Boy, Run, vote now. Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. Less. Okay. Apologies to the C.S. Lewis fans. Right.
Okay.
maybe it's just that. Thank you. Dennis.
Dennis?
Doyle, a clothing store security guard running for the last 10¾ hours on basically one leg, is refusing to rest until this race is run. Unbelievable.
Let's have some instant feedback rather than groups, just because of time. What could you teach? What could you illustrate using that clip?
Temptation. The little voice in his head saying, "Give up, give up."
Yeah.
You look into negative thoughts that you have at the time.
Yeah, brilliant.
I thought the motivation of friends wanting you to fail because they don't want to do what's right.
Yeah.
They want to see you not do what's right as well.
Yeah. Two things so far. Let's keep going.
Cool. Run the race.
Yeah, sort of the run the race, perseverance kind of thing. Yeah.
since the war, we can't get through, we can't get around unless we have
some. Yeah, okay, yeah, there's four things so far.
The presence of Jesus is the path that he has to go through to achieve this goal.
Yeah. I think there's a good, there's a big theme of sort of suffering now for glory later. You know, the film, the reason he's doing the race is to win back his girlfriend and kid. Yeah. Now, you've got to be careful because you don't want to put up kind of illegitimate children and couples and things ahead of marriage as being a great prize to be fighting for. So you've got to be slightly careful. But the only reason he's doing the race and running this thing is to get, he's going through all that pain of running on a broken ankle, which is not possible actually. It just can't happen. But the only reason he's going through that is for the prize that's at the end. Loads of things, aren't there? Loads of things in that. Again, you have to be tight. Any problems with it? Apart from the one of, go.
He actually gets himself through the wall.
Yeah.
It's kind of his all through the
level, kind of through. Yeah. Actually, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's awkward. I think it's probably a bit long. Even when I made that to use it, you probably saw the slightly bit halfway through where it got sliced together. So there's a whole chunk that got taken out of the middle of that. It's still about 6 minutes long, which is possibly a bit too long. And if you've only got, you know, a 12-minute talk. Yeah, you want to let the Bible dominate, really, rather than Hollywood. Or the British film industry, sorry, that was very British. Any other problems with it? Do people spot instantly? We'll go.
He had a whole team of people around him. Sometimes your struggles can be very long.
Yeah.
You're not always going to have a team of people.
Yeah, they're helping. Yeah, that's helpful. Insightful.
On the other side, you could have maybe raised rather than the great crowd of Nexus and having you through.
Yeah. Let me just talk very briefly about the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. We won't have more time to see it. I hope you know the story. Now, I'm a big C.S. Lewis fan. I love the Narnia stories, don't get me wrong. The reason that's there is just to talk a little bit about. I think sometimes it's very easy to get a clip or an idea from a film and sort of run with it, and actually that starts to dominate what you're talking about. So a couple of things. Obviously, the clip from Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe is of Aslan coming back to life. That particular part. And I think actually there are possibly more flaws with that than there are benefits to be gained. If you're talking about the resurrection to people, yeah, that is a miracle. Okay? That is something supernatural and fantastical. If you're trying to convince them that Jesus, a man, came back from the dead, using a fictitious lion who's battling a witch as your illustration isn't necessarily going to remove it from the fantastical, in a sense. So with the fat boy running, at least it's a real man persevering to some extent. And there is a kind of an element of reality to it. But always beware of using fantasy fiction to illustrate anything miraculous, because actually you're just saying the only way I can explain this to you is to look at fantasy. Can you see the problem there? I think you've also got to be careful with Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, particularly in that it wasn't written as an allegory. There is a lot of stuff that overlaps and is helpful, but actually Aslan died to satisfy the witch. You know, Jesus didn't die to satisfy Satan. Jesus died to satisfy God the Father. He wasn't doing it to sort of pay off Satan. He did it to defeat Satan. Now, Aslan did defeat the white witch, but at a battle later. And so you've got to be slightly careful of applying everything across. And sometimes, as fun as movie clips are, I think sometimes you've got to ask yourself, do I actually need to illustrate this with something else? Do I need some other story to help explain what's going on? Well, actually, if I just stand here and say, Jesus was a man, he was buried, and he came back to life. The issue is not... Do you see what I mean? The issue is not in understanding what's happened. The issue is in just believing it. It doesn't need illustrating. And so sometimes I think we can spend... Spend hours trawling through DVDs, finding the perfect clip to illustrate something that actually the Bible illustrates perfectly well just by telling the plain truth. So just beware of that. So I think that's possibly the case with The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe. And that kind of... Actually, yeah, it's great. Encourage your kids to see the film, read the books. But actually, it might not actually be necessary to help your talk. Only use things that are going to be helpful. If you see a great clip, there's a couple of points, and I'll finish them with time for some questions. If you see a great clip that needs so much understanding, so much context setting, and you've got to explain away a number of other things that aren't quite right, actually that's going to be distracting, take ages, and not going to achieve the point. If possible, I think you want to try and find clips that are self-contained, that don't need any explanation, or are from films that pretty much everyone would have seen. It's like Toy Story. A lot of people have seen Toy Story. It doesn't need much explaining. They're in trouble, they get saved, let's celebrate. It doesn't need a huge backlog of what's happened in the previous 2.5 films. Whereas something like I Am Legend, that clip then, is possibly better with a bit of context setting. And have you got time to do that? Or has it just become distracting? Those kind of things I think you've got to weigh up. And in terms of length, I think it's probably good to stick around a sort of 3 or 4 minute mark. So that when the clip finishes, they're still awake. If you go too long in the dark with the lights down and the big screen, people just, they get sort of zoned out almost. And sometimes, if it takes that long to make the point, maybe you can make it in a simpler way. And we've only had a brief while together. Hopefully this is my ideas for you to go away with. A couple of things at the bottom. Again, Damaris' website has a specific slot called Tools for Talks, because if you're thinking, how do I get these clips? Tools for Talks is a subscription thing. Unfortunately, it's a little bit of money. But they have a database of literally thousands of downloadable clips that are searchable by topic, Bible passage, that it's all there, particularly for ideas and things like that. Now, but again, you need to be discerning when you find those things. Some of them might be a little bit, they might not serve the purposes of your group. And movieministry.com is a similar website. You can search for free, but you've got to pay to download stuff. So you can do the searching thing and then use your own DVD, if that makes sense. They're American, they're a little bit moralistic, it's a little bit, lots of clips of how to be nice to people. But there is some good stuff if you search around, and there's a couple of places to go, certainly for some ideas. We've got time for a few questions. If people have got general questions or things, I'd be happy to try and do that.
So what do you think about using, say, clips from a film that's a high rating, or perhaps a film that illustrates a good point that you might be interested in the film?
Yeah.
It's unsuitable. Too kind of.
I think it's difficult. I think sometimes you've got to. I think it's a really difficult issue because sometimes. So I think personally, with a little bit of context setting, I think the clip from Iron Legend is actually quite helpful, and can be used quite well to talk about. Judgment and the kind of the choice, and the seriousness of it and those kind of things. I wouldn't use it with an 11 to 14s group. I don't think, unless maybe they were an older end. It's very tricky because what you don't want them to do is to think, oh, that looks like a good film, I'll go and watch that. And actually the film is about Will Smith wandering around New York killing zombies on his own with the big guns. So it might, you look at that and think, that looks like quite an exciting thriller. So you've got to be slightly careful about that. I think it's fine to use... So another classic example of where I've made mistakes before is the film Gladiator, which is a great boys' film, lots of fun, all that kind of stuff. It's a 15, actually. And we, because lots of people get chopped up and there's blood everywhere. But there's quite a lot of, you know, what we do in life, echoes in eternity, all that kind of stuff going on. So I have come been in situations where I've used clips from Gladiator that I've made in the past, completely forgotten that it's a 15, used a little clip about him walking through the grass and all this kind of stuff, and it's all very nice. And then, you know, Johnny, 11, dad gets on the phone, "Why are you telling my son to watch Gladiator?" "I'm not." "Oh." And so you've got to think a little bit about the situation you're working in. I run a youth centre, so we get everyone else's youth group to come to me, so I don't have to deal with any of the problems. I think it depends on the film, depends on who you're working with. That isn't really a helpful answer, is it?
I think the truth is, if you're showing it,
you're condoning.
You're saying it's okay to watch it.
Yeah. I think you could possibly introduce a clip saying, "Now, this is from a film that is rated 15, you're not allowed to go and watch it.
Yeah.
However, this bit is useful. Perhaps. But I think it depends on the situation you're working in, and you'll know that better than I will.
Would you say you run a risk from the kind of greater context of the movie? Because actually, in I Am Legend, he's kind of basically a militant atheist.
Yeah.
Basically going on about how God didn't, kind of where God in all this, God didn't exist, why would God let that happen? So it kind of sort of has a bit of an issue in terms of the greater context of the film. How would you deal with that? If it had seen it.
I think it's perfectly fine that in that situation, say, "Well, look, I'm just using this bit to illustrate this point." The rest of the film, I think you can have a talk about the rest of the film using the path that Damaris has produced with lots of questions about that, potentially. I think, again, you've got to be careful, particularly if it's a popular film that lots of people have seen. If you try to take something out of context, from a film that everybody has seen, I think, no, that's not right. That isn't what happens, because actually he's a really nasty guy and she's a bit strange. And I'm getting looks through the door, which probably means we need to move on. Oh, we're right, it's only just 4:15. What's she looking at me like for? We're doing all right. Let me pray, and we'll go on. Father, thank you for helping us last little bit, just to have a think about how we can engage with movies and the culture that produces and how we can use them for good. Father, would you help us to make discerning decisions about clips we use and all those things as we try to simply use these things as a tool to help explain the gospel better to our young people. Amen.
Amen.
Brilliant.